And he forgot to mention that I just deleted my final scripture and I can't recover it. I hate iPads for some reasons. If anybody ever can show me how to go back and recover what you delete, let's have a meeting afterwards. Anyway, it's good to be here. So good and encouraging to see all of you. And I'll make no bones about it. It is our desire. If you're here and you're not a regular attendee or member here, it is our desire that you become that. So much so that we're going to take a huge step of faith next year. Lord willing, about this time, we'll be in a new building program, putting a new sanctuary in the front of this building. Because we don't want you to say it's too tight in here. We want to make sure. And I want God just to do everything that he wants to do in your life. Amen. Having been out of the church and then in the church, I have the privilege of seeing, and not just any church, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I just have the privilege of seeing what God wants to do in all of our lives and how much different it is living a life for the Lord than living outside of God's promises and his blessings. Amen. If you have your Bible, Genesis chapter 17, verse 16. If you are a veteran here and you don't come to every service, let me know, and we would rather send you a gift card somewhere if you won't be able to use those coupons. Really, I want you to tell somebody, say, hey, tell them don't be a cheapskate. Send me a gift card, and we'll be happy to send you one. We want you to be able to use it. We appreciate you. I told my wife yesterday, we were driving down the road. I saw an elderly gentleman outside just doing some stuff in his lawn. I said, that's it. I said, I know what we're doing next year. I said, we are going to have a service geared towards only senior citizens. We're going to promote it to death. And we're going to take that time to honor senior citizens. Those who sometimes they're not engaged in the workforce anymore. You know, their schedules aren't busy and packed, and sometimes many of their family and their friends have passed on. And so we're going to plan a day next year, and we're going to promote it to death and just invite them, and we want to bless them in any way that we can. Amen. Genesis 17 and 16, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yeah, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face, and he laughed, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. We're going to talk about that verse. I read it a few weeks ago. I want to pray for real quick, and I want to preach on the title, Is Anything Too Hard for God? Amen. You want to pray for us?
Lord God, I pray for this service right now. God, I pray that you use Pastor. God, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God, you have
angels. Lord, let your
place,
will
God,
be
we can
done.
Use it,
God.
Lord, and we can apply it to our life, God, and never forget it, God.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. If you can tell, we stand a lot here. That's in part because most of us know if we sit down, we're going to stiffen up, and we might not be able to get up again. So we just try and make it easier for everybody. So if you're in that category of 50 plus, or you might mean your 40s, and you get all stiffened up, hey, just stand with us. Thursday night, I come over here to pray with some of the young people, and I was up here and I walked past this keyboard, and the Lord spoke this scripture to me. And I'm going to do my very best to share it with you in a way that will help you and encourage you and help you to believe what God wants to do in your life. Number one, society has beat us down so far that this becomes nothing more than a storybook. The Bible in particular, but this passage more specific. The thought that God can make anything great come out of me, or you may feel the same way. Let alone God could bring nations and kings, as he told Abraham. He said, nations and kings will come from her. And I want to make sure you understand, he was 100 years old and she was 90. And so it's one thing for me to say to a church with an average age of about 25 or 35 years old that, you know, nations and kings can come from you. You might think, well, I don't know, but maybe, okay, if God can. But when you know you're long past the childbirthing stages of your life, it makes it that much more impossible. And so we respond normally the same way Abraham responded. We laugh. Yeah, I know. God can do anything. And a few weeks ago, I read that verse 18. Abraham's response was, oh, the Ishmaelite might live before thee. That's an important verse to me because I've preached several places and other churches on this scripture. Isaac was the promised child, but Ishmael was the product of somebody who wasn't willing to wait and trust God. And so Sarah got tired of waiting because Isaac had not yet come, yet he'd been promised. And so she told Abraham, take my handmaid Hagar as your concubine, and I want you to have a child with her. And so then here comes Ishmael. And Abraham at this point, he said that Ishmael might live before thee. He's saying, God, just bless what I have here. That's all I want. I don't want anything more. Just bless what I have. But God does not want to bless what we have. He wants to do what he's promised us. And so Abraham's mindset was something like, all right, let's not spend too much time on this silliness. I'll be happy, God, if you just bless this. Now, this is very hard for me to articulate. And I struggle with my words sometimes, believe it or not. I have a lot of them. I just struggle with them sometimes. Because the majority of the people, even sitting here right now, we kind of zone out when you talk about this kind of stuff. We feel inherently as it's non-applicable to me. And so we don't even entertain it or give it a possibility. And so we don't want to make a habit today of asking God to bless our mess. Abraham asked God, bless my mess. That sounds pretty on paper, but that's not God's will. God said, I promised you Isaac, not Ishmael. Don't ask me to bless something I didn't promise. Now, God can bless it, and he does, rescue us. But what I'm saying is, don't diminish God's role and his ability in your life and ask him to bless the things that you've messed up. Ask God, do what you said you would do in the beginning. I'm here, I'm willing, I'm ready, I'm waiting. I know I've made my mistakes. We want God to restore and to redeem. Now, when you go into chapter 18, it goes on, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old, well stricken in age. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And so she laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord also being old? Is anything too hard? Oh, I'm sorry. The Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which I am old? He said, why did Sarah say this? And he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And so my question for you today is that. I want you to answer that question within yourself. With certainty, and with confidence. Is anything too hard for God? Anything. Is anything too hard for God? Anything. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So what he was saying was, I will be back here this time next year, and she's going to have a child. Now, you got to understand this. To try and paint a picture for you, what the angel was saying was, he was saying, listen, I'm planning the baby shower and the gender reveal, even though you're not even with child yet. That's what he was saying. Now, let's talk just for a moment. Now, try, ladies, work with me here. I'm trying to be very delicate on this topic, and I mean that. But I want to talk about Sarah's age. And she was beyond the age of childbearing, all right? I want to talk about that for a second. So let me read to you some things that I was able to dig up. There are risks and considerations with having children when you're beyond the age of childbearing. And basically that means you have gone through a permanent life change. We're going to leave it right there. Try to be me and have to try and relay this in a way that doesn't get me attacked by the end of service. And so pregnancy after a permanent life change is associated with increased risks for both the mother and the baby, including miscarriage, premature birth, gestational diabetes, and heart disease. Women considering pregnancy after a permanent life change should consult with a healthcare professional to discuss the risks and benefits to ensure proper monitoring and care. Case studies, they say, have been documented cases of women giving birth after a permanent life change. Some as late as in their 60s, however extremely rare. As late as in their 60s. So there's nothing documented beyond anyone giving birth beyond their 60s. Sarah was 90. She was 90. Now, if this scripture were written in 2025, it would read like this. The angel came to her and said, you're going to be with child this time next year. I'm going to come back and you're going to have a boy. And she's going to say, well, let me go talk to my doctor. I want to make sure it's okay. I want to make sure my doctor feels like my body's going to be able to carry this. God would want me to be careful. God would want me to be wise. God would want me to be cautious. Now, listen to me. I'm going to come at you just for a minute. So you got to work with me today. I'm not saying that's wrong, but what I am saying is when God speaks to you and when God makes a promise, forget about anybody else's advice. Forget about anybody else's opinion, because God's promises will never flow with the opinion of man. God's promises will never make sense to the professionals. It just doesn't work that way. And until we change our thinking, we will say that there is things that are too hard for God. We just won't say it, but we'll believe it. We'll live it. And so the impossibility here that we see. He said he'd return, there'd be a child. We're going to have a baby shower. Planning the gender reveal. Sarah laughed. Said, don't you realize how old I am? And we do some of these same things. We get up and we preach about God's ability to restore and to give life. And we say, does he realize how broken I am? Does he realize what I've been through? Does he realize how deep my wounds are? Does he realize? I wanted to find something that I could relate even with our veterans today. I've been in this thing enough and I've worked with enough people. I understand what PTSD is. And forgive me, I do think that word's thrown around very easily now. I just do. But I also know that men and women that have come back from war, it's a real thing. And I also have talked to enough veterans over my lifetime that it's very hard sometimes for them to integrate back into society. There have been movies that have been made about veterans who have ultimately took their lives because they've been unable to reintegrate into society. And so what I want to preach today, and I want to preach to those of you who may be in that category today, I need you to believe before you leave this building this morning that there is nothing that's too hard for God. I need you to believe that God is able to restore and fix and heal anything if we will just believe that God is able and, of course, willing. But we present the questions. Well, he doesn't understand what I've been through. I might not know everywhere you've walked, but you don't know everywhere I've walked either. And you don't know the things that I've experienced either. Does he understand how unqualified I am? Does he realize that? Does he realize what the doctor said? That's my point. Regardless what doctors say. Hey, listen to me. I thank God for doctors. I have been to them. I respect they have a profession and they have a code of ethics they must follow. And probably all doctors can't say everything that they want to say because there are things they're bound by. But I also will say this today, that I believe more doctors have helped rob people of their faith because of their words than what we can say. Because we have become more reliant upon the opinion of the professionals than we have God. We are not living in an age where people seek the wisdom of God, where we just trust that God is able. We don't live in that time anymore, no matter how much we say we do, because it takes a great amount of faith, because we need something to hold on to. We need somebody to hold on to. We need something that's tangible. But God sent an angel to Sarah, and he said, this time next year, God, I feel the Holy Ghost, because I said those exact words to somebody last year, and it just came to me. I sat in their home, and I said, I believe this time next year, you're going to be healed. And she laughed. She laughed. I don't want you to laugh today. I want you to believe. I want you to believe that God is not a myth. He's not a fiction. He's not a story. He's not a tyrant. God is powerful. And God is the very epitome of love. And so if you love your child or your family so much that you would die for them, then I'm here to tell you today that he loved you so much that he did die for you. I know the spirit of our day wants to let this become just some fairy tale, but it's not a fairy tale. You cannot lump the Bible in the same category as some fictional story. I used to love those. I don't remember what they called old nursery rhymes. I used to love those when I was a teenager. I think they're called nursery rhymes. All those little fictional stories like the Paul Bundy and the axe and all that stuff. I love those things. I used to love Greek mythology. Now, I feel like Paul. When I was a child, I thought like a child. Now I've grown up. I quit dressing up like Batman. God have mercy on the world we live in. I still can't get over grown adults walking around, thousands of them at convocation centers in costumes. I just can't even. Anyway. Watch this. We see this text replayed and reaffirmed yet in a much more deeper manner in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1 in verse 7. It reads this way, and I'm going to bounce around here a little bit just for the sake of time. It says, and they had no child because they, speaking of Zechariah and Elizabeth, were barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. So now, as God would have it, he doesn't just go to an elderly lady and say, hey, or an elderly couple and say, hey, you're going to have a child. Now he says, I'm going to go to an elderly couple who's been barren their whole life. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a child. And so Zechariah and Elizabeth were, I tried to find out exactly how old they were. There's nothing really definitive that teaches us. The closest thing I could find is maybe in their 60s or 70s or maybe even a little bit older, but it's very similar to Sarah's situation. And so in verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Is it hard for us to believe today that we can find favor with God? Why would God do something like this? Because you found favor, why would I find favor with God? What have I done to find favor with God? Don't worry about it, just thank him for it. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Then in verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So you see, God steps up his game. Not only he tells Sarah and Abraham, hey, you're an older married couple, you're going to have a child. But now he comes to Mary, He comes to Zechariah and Elizabeth and said, I know your situation is a little similar, a little more difficult. You're going to have a child too. Then he goes to Mary and says, I understand you've never even been with a man. You're going to have a child too. See? You see how hard that is for us to even process? And Mary said, how? I've never known a man. In verse 36, and behold, he said, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And so you have to understand that God's ability, his power is not limited by nature or circumstance. And that's not easy for us to grasp, but it's something that we must grab a hold of. And just as God spoke light into darkness in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, so God is able to speak light into our dark circumstance, our life, our situation, wherever we are, right where we are. God is able to come right there, and God is able to say, you're going to birth something. Something new is going to come out of you. Your life's not going to be the same 12 months. I wish somebody would hear me today. In 12 months, somebody's life is going to be different. In 12 months, God is going to have shown himself in somebody's life. Whoever will receive that today and will say, nothing is too hard for God. I'm going to hold on to that. That is your Isaac. That is your promise that nothing is too hard for God. That is what God wants you to birth. So, I believe that the Lord sent me today to ask you this question again. Is anything too hard? The answer is yes. But when you throw God into the mix, the answer is no. Nothing is too hard for God. By man's standards and man's abilities, it's too hard. By our own reasoning, it's too hard. Prayer is fruitless if we do not come to the place where we're willing to trust God. You can ask God and ask God, but will you receive from him? Sometimes we get into this asking mode. Oh God, this begging mode. Oh God, would you please? Oh God, would you please? God never said we have to beg him. God never said we have to grovel at his feet. He didn't say we got to go ahead and, as they have done, and they'd still do in other parts of the world, flog yourself and cut yourself and do whatever you do from morning until midnight. No, that's not God. He said, ask and you shall receive. Ask. You say, well, I've asked things of God and I haven't received it yet. Maybe it hasn't been birthed yet. Maybe God still wants you to trust in him. Maybe God wants you to believe that there's a spiritual seed that you have been impregnated with, and you will have birth. You will give birth to something even though you haven't seen it yet. I'm not trying to just build you up or get you excited. I'm telling you what I believe with all my heart. And so, God's desire today. Now hear me. You got to hear this, somebody. Don't call me up whining, asking me to pray for you if you're not going to hear me try and preach the word to you. God's desire today is not for you to give birth to something, but to impregnate something in you. Something in your spirit that you will nurture on over the next 9 months. And you will eventually, ultimately give birth, whether that's a miracle in your life, whether that's being born again, whether it's changing your life, whether it's healing your mind, healing your body. God today wants to impregnate that inside of you. Because you can't birth anything until you're pregnant with it. And he cannot impregnate us until we believe that he can birth the promises that he has made. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, then said Jesus to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that's important because technically, if you stopped at those two verses without any understanding, it's impossible for a rich man then to be saved based off those two verses. Within a fortress or a castle, you'd have a large door, and then you have a small man door within that door. The parallel that is being drawn is for that camel to go through that man door, it's like threading a needle. It's got to be very, and so the camel would have to, you would have to take all of its baggage or everything it was carrying off of it. It would have to get down on its knees and have to very meticulously walk through that door. Not impossible, but difficult. When he said that it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven, he said he shall hardly enter in the kingdom of heaven. What he meant was when you are overladen and you're carrying all the wealth of this world, we're not just talking monetarily. You might be rich just by living at your house all by yourself. You ain't got no neighbors close by. I love it that way. I feel like the wealthiest man in the world. That wealth could cost you your soul. But the parallel is not, it's not impossible for a wealthy man to get to heaven. But it's like threading the eye of the needle. It's done very carefully and very meticulously. And so in verse 25, when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazing. Who then can be saved? That would be anybody's question. But Jesus beheld them, and he said unto them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. There is the reiteration that with God all things are possible. Yes, it might be impossible with you. Yes, you might be sitting there right now with doubt in your spirit. But I've come today to try and put something inside of your spirit, and then you will give birth in the next 9 to 12 months that with God all things are possible. And it's not just as possible, it's the desire of God, it's the will of God to do something miraculously in your life. And so let me go back to you veterans for a minute, if you'd allow me to. I know that many of you live with things, especially if you've been in combat, and I know some of you have. Life-altering things. I've followed the Ukraine war pretty extensively. And one of the things that I've heard repeatedly is those that come back with, some with minus a limb or two limbs. Some have lost all their limbs. Pictures horrifying. Burned. Things that the common man doesn't see. But when you're in war, it's a reality. And it's very hard. And so I want you to hear me today, if you would. I understand in every facet of life, you know, there's a community. Police have a community. You know, police officers normally kind of hang together. Firefighters normally kind of hang together. Nurses, everybody knows where's his nurse. Everybody knows where a nurse lives. Got the yard sign outside. I'm a nurse. Okay, I know, we know. I'm not being mean, I'm just saying. See those yard signs everywhere. I'm going to get one up since I'm a pastor. I'm putting it right in my front yard. You know what'll happen? It'll probably get run down. I know veterans kind of build a community. Why? Because you feel like it's people that can relate to you. You feel like it's people that understand you, and I respect that. I genuinely do. But God does not want anybody to isolate themselves based off of your sufferings and your experiences of life. God wants you to know today that he wants to give us life and life more abundantly. That God wants to put joy back in our spirit, not just buying. Someone told me yesterday, they were talking to an elderly lady, and she said, I go to Costco all the time, and I just buy things. I don't need it, I just buy it. And this person brought up this scripture that I thought was masterful. But that's the world that we live in. We just buy because we're empty, and we don't even realize it. We just buy because we're lacking, and only God can fill that void in our lives. Only he can. You wonder why people act the way they act. It's because they have had that void filled in their life. It's because it overflows inside of them. And they understand the joy of the Lord, and they run to it because they've seen what it's like on the other side of God. They've seen what it's like living outside of God's promises. And once they realize what it's like to live within God's promises, they don't want to let it go again. And so if God can cause Sarah to conceive at 90 by her 100-year-old husband without a doctor, then God can heal your mind. God can heal you of the scars in your mind. God can do the impossible in your life if you want him to and will allow him to. There's a really neat scripture in Jeremiah chapter 32. I'm not sure if you have it. Verse 16. I'm not done. Don't get super excited. Is this a bad time to forget to mention to you that Friday and Saturday we have a work week here and we really need some help? We do. That's not a joke. Friday around 5, 6 o'clock, if you want to show up in the evening, I should have said morning, I'd have really got you worked up. Saturday, we'll start here around 9. Anyway, moving on. Jeremiah 32 and 16. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God. I like that. I don't know, you probably think I'm crazy, and I am a little bit, but I like that. He's like, Ah, Lord. Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Let's have some context, shall we? Jeremiah was in prison. God told him to buy a field in the land that Babylon was getting ready to inhabit. That would be like if you are Ukrainian and you're living in one of those war zones and the Russian army is just about 10 kilometers out, and the Lord speaks to you and says, buy that field and build a church. You're going to be like, God, I love you, but you are nuts. Because God, what he speaks to us sounds absolutely insane. Like it's crazy. But it's not crazy, it's God, because he's already 10 steps ahead and he knows why and what he's doing. And so he tells Jeremiah, buy this field. It made no sense whatsoever from a human point of view. The land would soon belong to the adversary. But God told Jeremiah to buy it as a symbol of hope. And if you've ever, I say if, I think the amount of people in here that have been in war, in combat, is probably smaller, obviously. I never have. But I do know, I read something here a couple days ago. Forgive me, I don't remember the name of the city, main city that Ukraine and Russia are fighting for. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't say it. And they took the city hall. The Ukrainians took this area with this little old city hall back that's about half the width of the sanctuary. And they put their flag on there and they took a picture in front of it. And I'm watching, I'm thinking, that's all you got? Now, listen to me. We support the churches in Ukraine. I pray for them every day. I thank God for every victory they get. But I'm thinking, that's it? I mean, you're not saying that you drove the Russians back into Russia here. But it was a small moral victory. And sometimes to have hope, you need a small moral victory. And that small moral victory lets us know that greater things are on the horizon. Sometimes God just gives us small moral victories. I know you're not going to believe this, but your being here today is a small victory. Hell hates the fact that you're sitting in this sanctuary today. Hell hates the fact that you're listening to this little, simple, non-earth-shattering message. Is anything too hard for God? It was a year ago. We watched these three kids overnight disappear. And their mom took them out of state. They'd been here since they were this big. And it was devastating to us. I put their name on my prayer wall. And I know that others did too. And we prayed for them and believed that there would become a day they'd be back here. And I'll be honest with you. My vision wasn't as big as God's. I believe Braden would turn 18. He'd be the first one to come back. And then hopefully in time, time would pass. The other ones would come back. And as God would have it, one day their mom just called up Ashley, their sister, and said, I'm bringing them to Ohio. They can stay with you. I'm not saying anything bad about her. I'm just thankful she brought them up. That's not big to you, but that was all these kids knew. This church had been their life since they were little. We'd watch them move 10 times, go through anything that you can imagine they've been through. Small moral victories. Because God hears the cry of our heart. He hears the agony of our spirit. He hears the things that we'll never speak to anybody because we're afraid to open up. When the Bible tells us that God knows our heart, our thoughts, and our intents, that doesn't mean that he just wants to condemn us for every wrong thing that goes. No, that means God says, I know your suffering. I know your heartache. I know what you've been through. I know where you've been. And I want you to know that I hear you. And God is here today to tell somebody that I want to impregnate you with promise today. If you'll trust him and believe in him. What's that promise look like, Abraham? What's Isaac going to look like? They didn't have all the 3D stuff now. We didn't have none of that stuff. My God, I watched one the other day. This baby's in the womb, and he's kicking, he's stretching, he's doing all kinds of stuff. I'm like, man, they have nothing like that. That makes me feel really old, even though I'm not, because it's like it's come so far in 20 years. Abraham had none of that. There was no ultrasound. What if it's not a boy? God promised a boy. What if it's not a boy? What if it's a girl? Are we going to have to wait longer? Well, we do those things. But God knew. He knew what he's doing. God, I wish I had my last scripture. It's driving me crazy. So God told Jeremiah, buy a field. You know what you ought to do today? I mean this sincerely. And I'm not speaking monetarily, but I'll use the verbiage. You ought to buy stock in the church today. You may come here today thinking, well, we'll be here. You know, it'd probably be a while before we get back. Maybe we'll come for the Christmas service. You ought to buy stock in it today. You ought to buy some emotional stock. You don't know why. You don't understand that. I'm not even sure if I like that. I don't even know if I really like him. But listen, you already heard Colin already said, I'm the greatest preacher in the world. That's all you need. Buy stock. Buy it believing that God is going to do something over the next 12 months in my life. God, I feel the Holy Ghost trying to tell some people, if you get your eyes off your problem and you'll listen to what the man is trying to say, he's trying to bring you the word. God, I wish somebody. My wife only plays keyboard off of notes. She's never played by ear. I know this may sound silly to some of you, but she gives 100%. And she gets frustrated if she's not better than what she is. And I was up here praying on Thursday night, and I walked by the keyboard, and I kid you not. Man, I stood over here, and I just belted out. I said, God, let her, give her an ear for music. It may sound small to you, but nothing's too small for God. At 29 years old, she can do it. You missed. If you think I'm about to say her age, you're nuts. I should say her age because she doesn't look 48. I didn't say her age. I just said she doesn't look 48. At that age. Sister Klein, your husband said far worse things, just for the record. At that age. I meant it. I believed it. I felt it. I said, God, give her an ear for music. Give her an ear for music. At this age, at this stage in her life, give her an ear for music. Does she believe it? I haven't asked her yet. I haven't talked to her about it. Some of you kids talk to me about your parents. Don't come to church. God, give them the words and help them to see. Help them to see what's in the home and the spirit is stirring in their house. Help them to see the angels that are with them every time they walk through the doors when they feel like they're alone, but they're not. Help them to see it. God, help those that have been praying for healing for so long. Put something inside of them and pregnate them with a miracle, with a promise, with their own Isaac that they will give birth to. And one day they're going to wake up and they're going to say, hey, I don't feel anything anymore. I'm closing. We went on vacation years ago in 2018. We actually left the country. I'm not available. Just tell them I'm finishing up preaching. And for probably 2 months before, I had just horrible pain in the back of my head, just piercing pain. I talked to my wife about it. She's like, oh, you're probably stressed. I said, I'm not stressed. She said, well, you've probably been stressed so long, you don't know you're stressed. So I would know that I'm stressed. I'm not stressed. My God, I'm not stressed. Every day, we get on the airplane, we cross the big blue ocean. We get over there. 3 days. We were there 3 days. I woke up one morning, and I was like, hey, I don't have any pain. Haven't had it since. Since that day. I don't know what it was. I don't care what it was. All I know is it's gone. I'm like the man in the Bible. I don't know. All I know is I once was blind, but now I see. That's all I know. I know I once was lost, but now I'm found. I don't know. I'm here to tell you today that somebody's going to wake up here in 9 months or 12 months, and you're going to wake up, and you're going to say, hey, hey, I feel different today. Hey, I don't feel that anymore inside. Hey, I don't have that. I don't have that agony anymore. Hey, help me, somebody. I had a man tell me the other night, he said, Pastor, he said, I sit in church and I just want to beat my head off the concrete. I said, you're tormented. He said, I don't know why. I know why. You're tormented. But God wants to impregnate you with a miracle. One day, you're not going to feel that torment anymore. You're not going to feel that suffering. I wish you'd stand with me just for a moment because I got to finish. Now, this might not sound like much to some of you. Man, I'm 50. I'll be 53 in a month. And I barely crossed my 40s. I was probably 42 years old. And I'm not kidding you. I'm not lying to you. I would not lie in the church. I'm trying to lie at all, but I definitely wouldn't do it on the platform. But I wake up every morning, and I remember my mom. She wake up in the morning. I remember her walking to the house. I just vividly, and so I'd wake up, I'd get out of bed, and that's why I'm like, oh, I got no strength in my leg, and I'm walking. I'm like, my God, I'm 42 years old. As time went on, after that, it was all kind of stuff, man. I went to the doctors. You know what the doctor told me, Natalie? The doctor said, he said you have arthritis. He said, you're going to need a hip replacement probably in 10 years. That's what he told me. I'm like, nah, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. I said, I'm 42, man. I'm not even receiving that. Now, when they did tell me I needed bifocals, I refused that too. I eventually caved to that one. I got tired of not being able to see when I'm trying to read. But I spend every day of my life, every day, I pray one prayer for me. I say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over my body. Help me to be strong and healthy. And I'm here to tell you, I know I've got, and probably half the people here have herniated discs and bulging discs. And I've got two bulging, one herniated. I found all that out, but I'm telling you, I'm here today to tell you that I rarely have any back pain. One day, I'm praying to God, and I'm thinking, I'm like, God, you know, I believe I want my own miracle so I can have my own testimony. So I told God. Went to the doctors. It was a couple years later after the whole hip stuff. And the doctor says, your blood pressure's through the roof. You brought your borderline stroke level. I'm like, well, you haven't passed your church, have you? So he put me on blood pressure pills. I don't like to be on pills. But I took them, trying to be the good steward. About 2 years, one day I ran out. Called the doctor. I said, I'm out. I need some blood pressure pills. He said, I haven't seen you in over a year. You got to come back in. I said, what am I supposed to do in the meantime? Well, I'm sorry, but you know, I got to come out and get you scheduled as soon as I can. So I was praying one day. And I said, well, I guess this is as good a time as any to quit the blood pressure pills. Now, you don't think that's a big deal, but everything you take has some negative effect on your body. Everything. And so I was praying and I said, okay, God, I said, I don't want to be foolish. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. Immediately, God said, faith is not foolish. From that day, I quit taking my blood pressure pills. I went back. Every week, I checked my blood pressure. It'd be okay, then it'd be up. It'd be okay, then it'd be up. I'm like, come on, God, what's up with this, man? I know what you said. I heard it. And finally, one day, the Lord said, stop checking your blood pressure. Now, God, help me. I don't want to put anybody in the hospital. Listen, it's got to be time for birth. There's a time to give birth to something, to your miracle. I'm here to talk to you about him impregnating you with something today. You'll give birth in time. It was my time. And so I quit checking my blood pressure. I just quit checking it. I had a doctor's appointment about 30 days later. I went and checked it. And he's like, oh, man, your blood pressure is great. It's perfect. I had a doctor's appointment here a couple weeks ago. I had to do my annual physical because I do take an acid reflux pill. It's the only thing I take. My blood pressure was better than it had ever been in my life. It had never been that good. Small to you, not the people who suffer from strokes because the blood pressure is not small. My back, maybe small to you. Sometimes, once in a while, I'll feel a little bit here and there, but ain't nothing like it used to be. And I'm here to say I will never, never need a hip transplant because I've claimed that. I've already passed the 10-year mark, and I'm going to keep on trucking, and I've only gotten better since then. You say, well, that's not cancer. No, it's not. But sometimes we need some little miracles to build our faith. Sometimes the little miracles, it tells us God hears you. He hears you. So I got to close. If you want God to impregnate you today with something, I want you to just come to this altar. Please don't be bashful. Please don't think there's anything that's too small or anything that's too big. Just stand for 1 minute if you don't mind. I'm not going to touch you. And I know that you may be newer here or new. And if you're in AA, we're going to pray for you right where you are. That day, the angel came to Abraham and Sarah. It was like any other day, just like today. It was just another Sunday. But on this particular Sunday, the angel had news. And I'm here to tell you today, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, that the angel of God has news for you today. God hasn't told me what his news is for you, but he'll tell you if you ask him. If you'll listen, God will tell you. Listen to me. God will speak to you. God has already spoken to some people. If God has already spoken to you, just raise your hand. Told you, I know God. You might think that's all. No, it's not. God has spoken. He's heard your prayer. He has heard your cry. He knows your pain, and he knows that you have remained faithful. God is going to be faithful to you because God is a faithful, faithful, faithful God. He's faithful. Lord, would you bow your heads? My job, gracious Father, is to bring your word. Your word does not return void. You're always true to your word. You've never failed, not once, not ever. It's impossible that God should lie. He's not a liar. I pray today for these people. God, every single person, whatever it is they're asking you for this morning, those that have come to the front and those that have remained where they are, we know the room is limited. God, your reach is not. Lord, I pray, let the angel of the Lord make his way through this sanctuary right now and begin to impregnate people with their promise. God, nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for God. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Let that spirit and let that mind be in us this morning, precious Jesus, because you love so much. God, you would not let your own suffer. If we love our earthly children, how much more will you give the Holy Ghost? How much more do you love those who are your own children? In Jesus' name.
You step down into dark.
You should claim it. You should say, God, I might not even understand what I'm saying, but I receive it this morning. I receive it from you. I receive your promise. I receive it. I see people's promises already. I've already looked at some of you and I see it. God, boy, if the Lord told me, I'd say it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So here I am to Jesus. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God and you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Hallelujah.
King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. And humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, and you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to. Say that you're my God and you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to me.
Sing without any music, Brother Tyler, just for a moment. Hallelujah.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God and you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to worship. Here I am to say that you're my God.
I want to do one more thing real quick. They're going to sing one more song. I want you to reach out to a neighbor right now. Would you do that? You might not be comfortable if you're newer, and that's okay. Then reach out just to each other. And I want you just to, I want you just begin, just pray for them. Just pray, say, God, whatever it is, their need, whatever their need, Lord, I'm standing in faith with them and for them because they might not have the faith on their own. Come on, pray for that person right now. Just begin to pray. Say, I don't know how to pray. That's okay. Then just pray what I just said. Lord, come on, you know what you deal with. Hallelujah. I feel the presence of God so rich. I'll reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Sickness can't stay any longer.
Your perfect love is casting out fear. Yes, you are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed.
Oh, yes, sickness.
Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Oh, sickness, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Oh, you are. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, Jesus, I reach my hands, I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, yes, I reach my hand. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, yes, I trust you, Lord. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from.
Brother Tyler, we're almost done. People are still praying, but instead of sickness, let's change some of those words. How about torment can stay here no longer? How about anxiety can stay here no longer? How about anger over my pain can stay here no longer? Go, just replace some words, and let's sing that one more time. And I want you to apply it to your own life right now and claim it. Claim it, huh? Because God is good. He's so good. Yes, he's so good. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Dying, he can't stay here no longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Yes, you are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed. Oh, anxiety. Anxiety can't stay here no longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Yes, you are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed. Oh, anxiety. Anxiety can't stay here no longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Oh, you are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is here. Oh, anxiety, anxiety can't stay here no longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Yes, you are the lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, yes, I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you.
Praise the Lord. I wonder if we could lift our hands, lift our voices, lift our heads up to the Lord. And I wonder if we could just receive this word today. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that I serve a God like you that can do the impossible, that can heal things that doctors say that they can't be healed, that can deliver people from depression, anxiety, Lord, whatever it may be. I pray right now in the name of Jesus over everybody in this house this morning, God, that we can leave this place, Lord, with our faith emboldened in you. God, understanding that you are a God who can do all things and that there is nothing too big and nothing too small that you can't handle. And I pray, Lord, that we could begin to hear some miraculous things happening, Lord. God, that we can hear some praise reports of things, God, that you have done, Lord, in people's lives in this building today. And Lord, I pray in 9 months or 12 months from now, God, that we can hear praise reports and we could give you glory and honor and praise with our brothers and sisters when we hear these things, God. And I'm praying and I'm claiming it right now in Jesus' name. God, let it be done, Lord, in this place. And I pray over our day today, Lord, help us go out into this, into our homes, God, and begin to just restore things, Lord. Begin to restore things in our family, in our marriages, in our home, Lord. God, that we can be the best that we can be for your kingdom. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can keep praying. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.